Before I begin my message today, I want to shout out a compliment to our choir and to the Methodaires. I hope that you were present at the Thanksgiving service on Tuesday night at St. John's. I'm so appreciative of members of our choir who came, making the vast majority of those in the pickup choir that we put together every year. We send out an invitation to the choirs in the area and say, come and be a part. Our folks come in great numbers, and they were essential. They sang beautifully, and they made up a choir that was fun for me to direct. Likewise, the Methodaires went out on the road that night, and we sang, and I was so proud of them. Pride is one of those things I am often given to, one of the sins I need repentance from, but I'll confess it today and say thank you to the singers of this church who came out on Tuesday night and made that service for me a very special time. It's a great time for us to be together in our respective, from our respective traditions. Love, joy, peace, hope. These are the four candles of Advent that move our hearts in the direction of Christmas. The four qualities that seek to direct us toward the enormity of God's action to send His Son into the world, to intrude into human experience and turn us toward God's purpose in this world. How difficult, though, it is with all of the invitations that come our way to forego those great themes and instead embrace sentimentality and nostalgia as we move toward Christmas. I'm as guilty of this as anyone. I am one who has been, over time, greatly devoted to nostalgia and sentimentality, conjuring up those memories of Christmases past with family and sadness of those who are no longer with us, and telling those stories over and over again as we meet with one another. I'll never stop, but this I confess to you, I will never again confuse that with the call of God and the invitation to Advent. Isaiah shares a great vision at the beginning of that book. Mike has read it for us. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem on the days of Uzziah. The vision of a great mountain of the Lord, summoning all to a transformed life in which swords are beaten into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks, the implements of war transformed into the instruments of peace. What a poetic and compelling vision it is. Come, let us go up into the house of the Lord, says the psalmist in another spot. That understanding that the purpose of God is beyond us, beyond the ordinary, beyond our common everyday experiences, beyond the distractions that are imposed upon us in this season of preparation toward Christmas. For as much as I love all that nostalgia and sentiment, I acknowledge and know full well it is in fact a distraction. Something that turns me away from confronting and embracing again the enormity of God's gift to us in Jesus Christ. And that profound and mysterious intrusion of God into the world. Love embodied. So trying to trying to give to the people of Israel a greater vision for what God has in store for them, Isaiah comes up with this wonderful image of the journey toward God up to the highest mountain. So compelling that all the world is drawn to it. Got me to thinking about a place we love to visit when we're going out west. I do not tell you this is a one-for-one comparison. I'm not telling you that the place I'm about to describe is that vision in Isaiah. It's a metaphor. It's a place many of you have experienced, I'm quite sure of it. It's out in Glacier National Park. It's a highway, a road that traverses through the middle of the park up through Logan Pass. It's called the Going to the Sun Highway. How many have been to the Going to the Sun Highway? Oh my goodness, not enough, not enough. The Going to the Sun Highway, a road that was built in the darkest days of the Depression. A road that was constructed on geography that was so incredibly difficult that most people said it could not be done. A road that even today requires a kind of courage and steadfastness that most of us find difficult to muster. Back and forth it winds across around hairpin turns as it moves its way through Logan Pass. Don't make a mistake, because there are no guardrails on this place. And a little misstep off to the side and you'll find yourself plummeting 1,000 feet or more down to the next terrace of the pass. It is magnificent. It is spectacular. It is transformational. And it has come to be for me a kind of metaphor when I want to try to understand what Isaiah had in mind here. That vision of God's purpose in the world, summoning us to a place that is beyond our difficulties, beyond our obsessions, beyond our nostalgia, beyond our sentiment. Summoning us toward God's purpose in the world of love and joy and hope and peace. So today, that journey to joy, I would tell you that on that road, the challenge of it, the excitement of it, brings a joy in the journey that is hard to find anywhere else. Going to the Sun Highway. It is not the highway that to the mountain of the Lord that Isaiah imagined, but it is as close as I've ever come, and it is a metaphor for what Isaiah had in mind here. I don't know about you, but I hear those words of Isaiah, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord," and I wonder, where is it? How can I find it? Where in the vast sea of difficulties and nagging problems and lack of progress and more illness than I can tolerate and lack of cooperation in this world, where is this transformational vision of God? This place where I can look and see and say, there it is, there's what God has in mind for us. As most of us live down here, enslaved to the newest problem of the day. We continue to live in a world where violence is in the news all the time. We continue to live in a world where, rather than cooperate for the betterment of all, we seem intent on maneuvering for political advantage instead of really directing our corporate selves to solving the problems that we face. And God offers a vision that is beyond us. I wonder how to get there. So then I turn to Matthew and I see this message. I know that we could use it. There was a movie that years ago that made the rounds of a lot of churches called A Thief in the Night. And you can use that passage and turn it into just this kind of rapture sort of scary message. You better be ready because you're going to turn around and everybody else is going to be gone and you're going to be left here. You could do that with it, but I go to a different place in that message, to the being ready message. And I realize that this being ready is not something about for the, it could be about the end times, but it is for me more about the right now. Where is the joy and the love and the hope and the peace in the right now of life? Because it seems like most of the time, the burdens are just weighing me down. That may not be true for you. You probably bounce through life with just a solid hold on the promise of God in this life. But not me. Those burdens constantly weigh upon me. So I look for little things that help redirect my heart. And right now I am reviewing old videotape that my family has never seen since the day I took it. Christmas is past, where we were together. And what I am discovering there is an abundance of joy that I had forgotten about in the present trouble. Laughter shared together. I could describe it, but it wouldn't make sense to you. You had to be there. But I want to know, I want to say to you, that the joy that God promises is accessible to us now. And that it is a part of preparing our hearts to embrace the gift of God in Jesus Christ. I am quite convinced that God is in charge of whatever will be the end. I am quite convinced that God's intention is to call us back, to reappear and perfect the world. And I am quite certain that I have nothing to do with how and when that'll take place. But here's my message for you. To be ready now. To find the joy now. To take a moment and allow God to transform your heart so that whatever sword or spear of resentment or anger or hatred you may be harboring, you will allow God to work in your heart now to transform it into an implement of peace. To grab hold of that joy which God offers even in our most difficult of days. Like I say, you're probably better at this than I am. Because I tend to obsess about the problems. But the joy is there. It may be a promise for some time way off in the future, but it is also a promise certain for today. That the purpose of Advent is that we might journey to that place where God's perfection is at least discernible in our lives, if not attainable in our lives. I say to you that no matter how difficult this moment may be, no matter what challenge may be in front of you, what discouragement may be weighing down your heart, It is not the final word. That God can take that moment, that circumstance, and transform it. That there is joy to be embraced. And that in embracing it, we take a step closer to God every time. Out west, there's a road. It's called the Going to the Sun, S-U-N, Highway. I've always imagined the play on words of what it would be if we changed it to the S-O-N, Highway. It was built in a place where everyone said you can't possibly build it. It was built in the days, the darkest days of the Depression in 1932. It is a road that is a challenge. It is a road that can be breathtakingly beautiful and heart-stoppingly scary. It has become for me a metaphor for what God has in store for us were we to take the journey Isaiah offers to us. In this season of Advent, I invite you to take a step each week through joy and hope and peace and love, and to be reminded again that when Christmas comes, it is an enormous gift. God's intrusion into human history, jerking us out of our obsession with things that finally do not matter. Thanks be to God.